brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Good morning, everybody. This is Elizabeth Gordon, and I'm lucky enough to have a great room of folks with me this morning. But first off, my co-host, Lee Cantor, what's going on?
It's just a party over here. What about you, Elizabeth?
Good times.
You're all chipper. You're all green and fired up.
It must be spring.
You must like the spring, huh?
Yes. Well, I bought a new car.
You did?
Like I told you I was going
yes,
to.
Yes. Did you get rid of your other car?
Yep, I did. The whole transaction went down this
really?
Weekend.
That's
and
impressive.
Now I'm driving around in a much cooler car.
Sportier?
So, yes.
So you
definitely.
Liking that.
I am. I'm enjoying it.
That's nice. You get looks from guys now? You notice that?
I don't know.
Yeah,
well, you know, how would I know the difference?
Oh, there's
right.
just a high level of guys checking you around as it is. Very nice.
So today with us on the Results Matter radio show, we have Philip Wilhite Jr. of Wilhite Packaging and also Phil Kitchens, president of Southern Waste and Recycling. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're glad to have you here. So, Philip, your company provides a comprehensive selection of shipping, packaging, and maintenance products. Tell us a little bit more about the company.
Basically, the company was started in 1953 by my grandfather. Pretty much started it out of his house, making a product called giblet paper for the poultry industry, which was an absorbent paper that when they used to process the chickens, all the little bits and pieces that you'd use in a gravy, they would wrap up in the paper and stuff inside the cavity of the bird. That's something you'll never see again, but that was essentially where we were started.
Nice. So he was a bit of a visionary at the time, saw it as an opportunity, and now it's grown. I mean, obviously, you've been around for a long time. It's quite a large organization at this point.
Yeah, flash forward almost 60 years later, and we have locations in three different states and about 75 employees and doing in excess of about $60 million a year in revenue. So it makes us one of the larger players in what we do in the industry.
That's exciting. It's exciting to be a part of an organization at that level. So, Phil, Southern Waste and Recycling is a national waste and recyclable materials management firm, and you also provide your customers with a comprehensive selection, but on waste solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So what types of solutions do you provide to your clients?
We create comprehensive waste and recycling solutions for different industry corporations, companies looking to make improvements in regards to how they manage their waste, how they, I guess from a recycling standpoint or from a green standpoint, improvements to their recycling efforts and overall cost management. Basically, most companies are seeking to cut cost, considering the economy, and we help companies do that and manage those processes long term, offering measurable results through reporting, things of that nature. So, but as a company, we began by creating comprehensive waste and recycling solutions. Maybe local businesses that wanted to make those differences, again, cut costs and improve how they were managing their waste materials. That was our initial endeavor. And then long term, we've evolved into a company that is really more focused on cost management, where we help companies improve and create sustainable practices, which result in cost reduction.
Now, I get how you deal with sustainability, but Philip, how do you guys at Wilhite Packaging kind of deal with sustainability?
Well, we've always been a company that focused on using sustainable materials. Mm-hmm. We've been a company that's sold a product called molded pulp for probably 20 or 30 years or more. the best description of that is just imagine your egg crate you get at the grocery store, but in larger, you know, much more dense material, thicker. I mean, heavy enough to support sometimes, you know, in excess of 70 or 80 pounds. And, you know, the alternative to that's styrofoam, which is horrible for the environment. So we've been doing that for years. But over the last 5 or 6 years, we've really turned the focus on sustainability. You know, now we're one of the few companies that actually offers a biodegradable and oxybiodegradable stretch film, enough to where you could leave it out in a field, and I think it's around 16 to 18 months later, it'll be dust for the most part.
Wow. So are you looking for ways to incorporate sustainability, or is your customer kind of pushing you in this direction?
Well, over the years, you know, large corporations have moved more and more towards sustainability routes, especially the Goliath Walmart. You know, they've started a sustainability program that they're encouraging their suppliers to go to in a strong-arm sort of way. But it's funny because it's been a great program. It's been great for the environment, what they've been doing. They've been, you know, of course, Walmart's spun it as they're doing this for the environment, but it has been a huge cost savings to them.
How is it a huge cost savings for them?
Just an example, one of the big, you know, they have a program at 7 R's. One of the R's is reduce. So, you know, when you go in, if you have a daughter, you've ever bought a Barbie doll, you'll see the Barbie doll is one size, but the box it comes in is about 9 times bigger than what it needs to be. You know, it's got all wire ties and plastic, and it's huge because it catches the eye of the little girl looking at it. And they said no more of that. And it has to be right size now. So there's a ratio between the size of the product and the actual size of the packaging. So you can imagine when you're selling, you know, 50 million Barbie dolls a year or whatever they sell, if all of a sudden the packaging is a fourth of the size it used to be.
So that's a dramatic
the shipping
change,
cost, the cost that, you know, that somebody's paying for the packaging when it goes into there. So it's been the amount of savings that they've realized by doing this program, and shipping costs especially have been
so it's not necessarily the actual material they're using. They're just using less of the material.
Well, that's just one of them. You know, they're also, you know, it's it does factor in what materials they're using. There are some materials that they've said absolutely no more of, things like PVC-based materials, which are very hazardous for the environment and very, very difficult to recycle. I can tell you now that IKEA has said no more polystyrene or styrofoam in any of their facilities, I think, as of 2014. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these large companies are just moving to more sustainable materials and is pushing our industry more and more in that direction, which we're very happy about because, as I said, we started focusing on this.
Right, you were doing this
6-7 years ago.
On your own, you know, without really them telling you.
Yeah.
So, Phil, tell us about your relationship with Wilhite Packaging.
Well, we began approximately 3 years ago where Philip and I discussed us managing some of their obsolete materials that clients of theirs were storing logistically at their facility, and they did not want to put those in the landfill. So he called me and in an effort to try to find a market to recycle those materials, and they're typically polymers and paper-grade products. That can be recycled. So we began there, and over, I guess, the last 12, 24 months, this was driven by Philip, created this idea of partnering and creating an end-to-end solution where Wilhite sells and markets the packaging, eco-friendly packaging products, and on the back end, we create the sustainable recycling practices for those same potential materials.
So you're able to take the packaging that he's putting into the business, and then you take it out when they're done with it.
Correct. And the packaging products that they sell, in addition to other waste materials that are recyclable or recoverable, that Wilhite's clients produce. And we've taken that a step further in creating a logistics program where, and again, this was spearheaded by Philip, where we implement recycling programs, Baylor-driven recycling programs for specific customers of Wilhite's, and the baled material, traditionally cardboard or what's considered corrugate in our industry, is backloaded to trailers coming back to Wilhite's facility. And so
So they're dropping things off, and then you're using the same trucks to take things back out.
Correct. Correct. So it's
pretty efficient. You can't get much more efficient than that.
Well, it's efficient not only from the perspective of space restrictions, and many of these companies, especially the food-based companies, poultry industry, and some of the other food-based businesses in the Gainesville area and the Atlanta area, always have issues with space, and mainly because they typically grow out of their facilities, their production facilities, and from a USDA standpoint, they cannot store material for very long if it's considered waste material, regardless mm-hmm. if it's clean or not, in their facilities or near their facilities because of contamination.
So there's laws right now on the books that kind of regulate this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How long? How frequently do I have to take my trash out?
Is it to that degree?
Daily.
Every day.
Well, the USDA has very strict regulations on these food processors because of that, and it's not so much that it is contaminated material or anything, but you can't store it inside or outside. Or
inside or outside is out.
Within 100 yards or so of the facility because right. it creates a habitat for rodents and, right. and animals and so forth. So they... that is the key thing that's made this so successful is the fact that we're already running to these food processors daily, making deliveries, that we have an empty trailer running back that we can pull this material
right.
back. So it was kind of the missing piece was that that backhaul of the recycled material. It wouldn't be that big of a deal if transportation costs weren't so high because they could just ship, four or five bundles of corrugated off to the recycler.
Right.
But the key to making that work is maximizing the truckloads of the material or the numbers just don't work.
So previously the trucks were going back empty?
Yes.
Okay, so now you're able to, because you guys are working together, you're able to utilize at least some of the space in the truck on the way back?
Exactly.
So what have been some of the results that have developed from making this partnership and proceeding this initiative?
Well, one of the biggest results is we work with a company called Fieldale Farms, one of the largest privately owned poultry companies in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You might have seen the name of their number one product, which is Springer Mountain Chicken, if you've mm-hmm. seen that on the
I've
menu.
Eaten that chicken.
It's great. Very good and healthy. But we work with them, and we've had a very long-term relationship with Fieldale. We've been one of their main packaging suppliers for probably 20 years or more. And, we approached them about this product first because we knew they were a forward-thinking company, and we knew that they would jump into this, wholeheartedly with us. And, this was kind of our pilot program, and there were some bumps along the road to get it going. But once we got all that ironed out, there's been a huge success mm-hmm. in this, and it's primarily attributed to Fieldale being open, willing, kind of opening up their books to us and working with us, full force, not just kind of dipping their toe in the pool, but jumping in the deep end.
Right. I guess that's a good way for companies to kind of embrace this sustainability is to partner with people who have done it before and working in there to help, educate them and kind of immerse themselves in it without them having to really learn about it, right? Aren't you helping, Phil? You're helping kind of educate them and helping them through the hurdles of this?
We are. I mean, the education is more awareness of what services are available to companies and specifically based on their geography. One of the challenges in our industry is basically creating a wealth of opportunity based on any geography. If you're in a smaller community, smaller town, considering like many of the poultry companies, they're traditionally based in smaller towns. Their processing facilities are in smaller towns in the region. And they're challenged with finding services that are offered in those particular regions. So as a business, we have a consultative business model. We consult with every client and ask many, many questions. We conduct facility surveys, site surveys, where we walk through the facilities. We look and see, we watch how they manage their waste, how waste is processed.
So you got to really get into their dumpsters and
get into their dumpsters.
Like
yes.
What's in there? What percentage of what?
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
They don't even know, do they?
Well, sometimes
they know, but they probably don't.
Well, some companies are ahead of the game. They're educated.
Mm-hmm.
They have become what I call experts in our industry, which we prefer someone is not an expert because then that steals what we're trying to do for the business. But I would say that's a very small percentage of most companies. Most companies are more focused on just getting rid of the waste, getting it out of their facility, and really cost. If it's not broken, kind of don't fix it. Kind of an approach.
Right.
From a cost standpoint, it's an understood cost. But when companies are trying to cut cost and become more financially sound, it's that's a great area to start or to look into as far as cutting costs, because many of these companies generate hundreds of thousands. I mean, they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on waste management,
right?
And so much of that material that's going into the landfill can be recycled from a sustainability
standpoint. So they just don't even know what they don't know.
They don't know, correct.
So you go in there, and like when you're telling them, you know, we can kind of pull some of this waste and put it in this pile rather than this pile, and you can, when you recycle it, you're looking to sell that, right? Like, isn't a portion of this that you have to be able to sell it in order to kind of make money? Isn't that part of your business?
It's not always financially lucrative. The main point is removing it from the landfill, transitioning material out of the landfill into a recoverable program where even if there is not a return on the material, it is saving the customer a great deal of money.
So it's saving them in terms of they're not dumping it in the landfill.
Correct. On average, and this is just through calculations that I've done through previous experience, but on average, companies in the local market are spending roughly somewhere between $70 and $100 per ton, and that's including all fees, hauling, disposal, fuel fees, environmental fees. They're spending roughly $70 to $100 a ton to manage their trash from a landfill standpoint. So if every
And that's if they're just dumping everything.
Correct.
Right.
Well,
so one trash can, everything right. goes in the same place.
Right. So that's including rental fees, any of the right. equipment costs. So for every ton that we transition from a landfill into a recycling program, you know, they're saving that much money, and we're talking thousands of tons. Many of the Fieldale Farms, specifically, they produce thousands of tons of material a year. So
you can make a dramatic impact on their bottom line just by pulling out a chunk of that.
Correct. Absolutely.
So what does sustainability mean to the waste and recycling industry?
Sustainability, what it means to the waste and recycling industry is better practices, more consistent, repeatable practices, where historically, and our industry was somewhat antiquated when I got into it, probably when our company's over 11 years old. So really the focus back then was more on the landfill revenue and the hauling revenue, and yes, obviously delivering better services, more cost-effective services. But I think that the term sustainability in our industry is really driving recycling practices, environmental stewardship. Corporate America has embraced this so greatly now that if you, as a waste company or as an environmental company, if you are not delivering those types of services, you're really falling short of what corporate America is desiring. They want a program, or most companies are desiring a program that they can measure the success, and they can see a long-term productivity from how the programs that we deliver impact the environment.
So, how do you measure the sustainability success with each of the clients that
right.
you develop and implement a program
right, like take
for.
Us through a kind of maybe a story you have with, like, what's your sweet spot client? Is there a client that you can, I mean, you don't have to name its name, but just, like, what's a client, and then explain to us, like, what it's like when they work with you, how they're defining what the metric of success would be.
We have one client in particular that when we began with them over 7 years ago, we were managing roughly 15 of their larger facilities, and this
right.
is an office-based client where the offices could be the largest in any particular city.
So it's like a high-rise?
High-rise, low-rise to high-rise.
Right. So it's a typical company. Office building. And so they have their own waste stream then?
Correct. They have, and their waste stream is different than industrial companies such as...
Well, what's typically in an office's waste stream? Just paper? And
it's going to be a high concentration of paper, cafeteria waste, and really things of that nature. You're not going to see the industrial waste that you would see at a distribution facility or manufacturing facility. challenges are different. You have housekeeping, janitorial crews that collect the waste, and they're also at the same time collecting many times the recyclable, recoverable paper materials.
Right.
So separating those and measuring the success of how you're transitioning much of that paper waste in out of the landfill.
So prior to working with you, they just went into one big...
At times. Now, I mean, and many buildings have recycling programs. They have historically had
them. So they have like a blue garbage can?
Correct.
Is that the recycling program?
The blue or green cans. Yes, that would be correct. I think the thing that we found is that they were not measuring how they were managing that material, measuring the success of their recycling program. So to answer your question, how we measure sustainability, and this particular client, we began with roughly 15 locations, and we are now managing over 450 locations in the Southeast. And the way we have really driven sustainability practices is we took over a group of properties that had recycling programs, and they had the waste program, but they didn't have any metrics to measure the success of it. So what we offer is not only ongoing analyzation of the waste stream, and that's on a day-to-day basis in our office, but on a monthly basis, we created a reporting system, customized reporting, that tracks the material as it's transitioned from the landfill into a recycling program on a percentage basis. So they get a report every single month, the management team, that shows exactly how much, what percentage of waste has been recycled as opposed to what percentage of waste went into the landfill, and then the cost that's associated with that. So we also show the cost avoidance on a percentage basis as well, on a monthly basis. So we bill that client, and they are able to see and measure, through the metrics we use, how much money they're saving and if we're doing our job on an ongoing basis.
Now, does part of your consultative practice trickle into the actual company where you're kind of helping the employees recycle more, or do you have any programs that help? Is the drill down that far, or is it more in the management level?
No, it does. We consult with management on collateral and information, educational information that we do offer to our clients in an effort to help really promote the program.
Right, and engage more. And correct. Because you ultimately need them to put the stuff in the right garbage can in order for this to work.
And that is a challenge. There is much contamination in this particular process. If containers are not labeled properly, and there isn't an education. There's not an educational process within the tenants.
Right, so that the individual person knows that the cost of them doing the right thing is really better for the environment than it is just, being them lazy.
Absolutely.
So they don't want to, walk three more steps to throw it in the right canister.
Absolutely, and I think from an individual standpoint, many people have embraced the idea of recycling at their home. So when they walk into an office environment and they see a blue container or a green container, they know that is for paper or for whatever recoverable material, plastics, aluminum cans. But many people still have not been educated on that. So, it's an uphill battle, but I think it's one that on an annual basis, I think just in the United States, I think it's been widely embraced, and I think more and more people are understand that recycling is really necessary to help our environment.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so, because it is. So, Philip, as you look at, you know, kind of charting the future course of Wilhite Packaging, do you think that sustainability is an important initiative and kind of the wave of the future, as we're saying here?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, over the last, you know, 5-6 years, you've seen leaps and bounds in the willingness of these companies to work on this level, you know, mainly because it's becoming more and more cost effective now. You know, in the past, you couldn't get anyone to kind of look at these products because it just costs more money to do it.
Right. I mean, ultimately, business is about making money. But mm-hmm. if you can make money and do the right thing at the same time,
it's a bonus.
That's usually preferable. And, that's long-term success,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
And that's what we're talking about here, long-term success.
Which is great. It's one of the reasons that this pairing has been, you know, between Wilhite Packaging and Southern Waste and Recycling has been so successful, because essentially you're just adding a little bit more cost. As far as man hours to do this, but the savings on the back end sometimes can offset that, you know, tenfold. So it's been a great success. But another big, you know, way we've been moving more and more into this sustainability is just the fact that more people are buying into it. And in my industry, it's all about economies of scale. You know, how much is being produced to drive down that cost? How many companies are in there competing against each other? And, you know, 5 years ago, there was nobody really focusing, except for a few companies here and there, on making sustainable packaging products. But now all the major manufacturers have some sort of sustainable packaging push, or a product that they're trying to push into the market, which drives, you know, production up and drives down cost. And, you know, the more competition, the cheaper the stuff gets.
I'm sure that your business is also somewhat consultative in the way that you sell products to your clients and understand their needs. So do you guide them in the direction of at least considering sustainable options for their packaging?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we're not a manufacturing company. We only have one small manufacturing division, and it only makes up a very small part of our revenue. We're a distributor, so essentially we are consultants. We come in, and if someone's making a widget, we, you know, tell them essentially the best packaging materials to use to package that widget effectively and get it out the door. So we're a company that doesn't focus just on corrugated or just on poly-based products or honeycomb or any of these things. We sell all of it. You know, so we're kind of the all-in-one supplier for packaging needs, which is which is one of the reasons why we're so happy to bring Phil into our mix, because now we're really the all-in-one package.
Right.
We can help you from beginning, from
all the way
cradle to
end,
grave.
Right. Yeah, that's great. Now, do you have, in terms of packaging, do you have an ideal customer?
Yes, big.
Big?
That's the one. We like,
the more boxes, the better.
Yeah, you know, it's our company, we handle all different kinds. We got customers that are running businesses out of their houses, all the way up to you know, billion-dollar, you know, companies that are Fortune 500 companies. You know, our ideal customer essentially is the one that pays the bills.
Isn't that everybody's
yeah.
ideal
yeah,
customer?
Right. Get harder and harder
on time.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what about you, Phil?
Our ideal customer, similar in nature, we're seeking clients that generate a great deal of waste, or that have large waste streams, and that have challenges in cost management and sustainability practices. So, in manufacturing, distribution, you know, that includes the food processing businesses, and really, if you think about it, every business, every facility, every household in our country requires waste services, so
right.
it's a great scale of opportunity. But we're more specialized in the type of clients we're looking for. We're more of a niche market company, and as far as the services we deliver, we're seeking to find companies that have larger challenges and a greater scale than you know, and we work with small companies as well. So
right, but like,
so they have a complex trash situation.
Correct.
And then, so is it, you mentioned high rises before? Is that your sweet spot, or is it like the poultry companies, or
it's really? I would say it's split. You know, we do about probably 50% of our business in the high rise, low to high rise sector, and the other 50% is going to be in the industrial sector. We do also provide general contractor services. We've managed projects all over the country. We have done some work as well. And, you know, so that's a part of our business as well. But the main focus is going to be long-term relationships with companies and facilities that are seeking improved sustainability practices and are trying to cut costs.
How is Southern Waste and Recycling planning to stay on the leading edge in the waste and recycling industry going forward?
I think it's through partnerships with Wilhite Packaging. We as a business model, as I mentioned before, we are a company that partners with the larger and smaller waste haulers in the industry. The services we deliver are through partnerships with companies like Waste Management, Republic, the smaller local haulers, recycling companies. We deliver those services through our partners, and we're only as good as the relationships with those particular partners. So as they improve their deliverability, so do we. And I think it's just continuing education on recycling practices and availability of markets to sell recyclable materials. Offshore markets are a big part of what we do. And also, I think it's just our initiative to find resources for clients that may be regionally focused, maybe multi-facility operations that have just been challenged in finding resources to create comprehensive waste and recycling programs that make sense financially. So, you know, I think it's really just continuing education, and obviously our industry is on a rapid pace of growth right now from a technology standpoint.
Well, Lee, this has been an interesting conversation with two very successful businessmen here in Atlanta. I sure did.
Do you think we can hit them up for a piece of advice?
That's what I was thinking. It might be about time to ask for our Results Matter tip. So let's start over here with Philip Wilhite Jr. of Wilhite Packaging. What tip do you have for us, a Results Matter tip, if you will?
Well, definitely, I would just say, you know, if you're a small business, large business, it doesn't matter. Take a look at what you're doing and in your packaging world, and make sure that you are looking towards the next year, the next 10 years in your packaging, because you need to start moving more and more towards sustainable packaging. It's something that a lot of your customers will be demanding that you do, and you can either chase that cart or you can lead the cart. And I would say go ahead and start moving towards sustainable packaging.
Nice one. And Philip Kitchens with Southern Waste and Recycling, what's your tip for us?
Agreeably, we are interested in helping companies small and large, but I think the best tip I can offer is understand where you are in your contract first and foremost. Many companies don't realize that they are in a contract with an incumbent vendor, and they really have to understand that before we can move forward with discussions. And further, understand where your waste materials are going. Are they in the percentage? If you're putting the majority of your waste material into the landfill, if you do not have a recycling program, or if you feel that there is improvements can be made to your recycling program, contact us. There are other businesses or other companies in our industry, but just understand exactly how things are being managed and where you are contractually, and that's the first tip that I would offer.
Excellent. And that brings me to a good point. Where can our guests get in touch with both of you? Let's make sure we put your websites out there as well. Wilhite Packaging, the URL?
It is wilhite.com. That's wilhite.com. If you go to our website in our upper right-hand corner, there's a button to push to contact us, and you can fill out a quick little form with your information, your phone number, your email address, and a little area of this description of what you're looking for, and that will come directly to me.
All right. Excellent. And how about you, Phil?
It's southern-waste.com, and locally we can be reached at 770-751-7797. If you'll go to our website, there is information on our relationship with Wilhite Packaging and detailed information on our sustainability practices and other information on how we conduct business.
Terrific. Well, thanks, Lee, for another great show.
I know, good stuff. Learn a little bit each week.
For Lee Cantor, this is Elizabeth Gordon with Atlanta Business Radio X, and you've been listening to Results Matter. We will talk to you next week.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.